You've taken their homework, their lunch, and even their trombone to them. Kids forget, but don't let them forget their Bible. Thursday, October 7th is Bring Your Bible to School Day across the nation. Encourage your kids to carry their Bible and empower them with Joshua 1:9.
To be strong and courageous.
Teach them to let God's word be honored, held, and heard, and never forgotten. Have your voice heard. Sign up at bringyourbible.org.
It's so easy to be thankful when things are going well. I mean, there's nothing to complain about, but we all face difficult moments, and then what do you do? Choosing to be grateful can be overwhelming. I'm John Fuller, joined by Dr. Danny Huerta. He's the Vice President of Parenting and Youth at Focus on the Family. And Danny, you're a counselor. So by nature, you're seeing people who are struggling. It's yes. Not all going great. It's a valley. So how do you get somebody in the valley to start to get a perspective that says, I might even be able to be thankful for this?
It's super hard. I mean, it's like really being not hungry at all and trying to eat food. I mean, you really, there's no desire for some people to be thankful. You look at them in the middle of panic attacks happening in their home, anxiety, depression, obsessive compulsive issues that are happening in the home that are very real, bipolar disorder, drug abuse, violence, assaults, suicide attempts. These are all the things that have come through my office where parents are coming in and trying to look for the joy in parenting, the joy in life. Why did God bring this to us? Why are we going through it? What did we do wrong? Is a question. What did we sin? Is this a payback for what I did my teen years? I know I did bad stuff. So that's what parents are processing that, and it's hard for them to go towards thankfulness. I remember this dad and son. Well, actually, it was a family counseling situation, and the mom had come first. Mm-hmm. And it was a dad and a son that would consistently be assaulting each other in the house. And the mom said, I do not love being in my home. I do not like my house. I don't want to go back to my house. I'm afraid either my son is going to attack my husband or my husband's going to attack my son, and they're tackling each other, punching each other. I don't know how to survive this. Mm. Those are the moments where the last thing they're thinking about is, yeah, I just want to be thankful for this.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an impossibly difficult challenge apart from the Lord. I'm not saying it's all good and easy with God, but you start with the Lord and then try to get his perspective on what could be at work here. These are difficult things. We're sensitive to that. And let me just up front say, if you're in that spot and you're identifying with what Danny just shared, we have counselors here. Call us. We'll connect you with one of them. They'll talk with you. They'll share some perspective and offer some resources. It's a free conversation, 800, the letter A in the word family. And let's go ahead and move on and hear more now from our conversation with Tricia Goyer. We featured her in our last episode talking about the year of her family deciding we're not going to complain. If you're in a tough spot, I think you'll find Tricia's comments today helpful.
The big aha for you, I think, in this, as I read the book, is, you know, you realize that perfection is not attainable.
Right.
And I think this is really critical for the listeners to hear because, you know, we can set the goal for the year being a non-complaining family, but things are still going to happen. And feelings are going to be hurt.
And giving ourselves grace.
Grumbling. Well, that's what I'm leading to, yeah. Is that what you maybe most profoundly learned in the year is how short we come as humans to meeting that perfect standard. And that's the whole point of the gospel, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have that grace that we can turn to God and we don't have to be perfect. Like, he covers all of it. He gives us the love, the joy, the peace, and we could just turn to him over and over. And I really had a moment when, you know, we're nearing the end of the year. I definitely feel strides forward, but we had a time when I set aside 4 days to myself to be able to write, get some work done. And my husband had set up to get a colonoscopy. And I'm like, in the middle of my time, I have to go pick you up from the hospital. Well, I go to pick him up and there's a doctor waiting in the waiting room for me. And he had gone under, I mean, he like flatlined on the table during a routine colonoscopy and had to be resuscitated. And they said, we don't know what happened. His heart stopped. And so suddenly I'm grumbling because in my mind, again, of having to go and pick him up from the hospital, which I could have lost my husband. And my friend Winter Pitts, she ended up passing away that same day. So I'm like, I was so thankful that it was that same day that, my husband had to be resuscitated, that when my friend Winter passed away. And the next day I just like was so like, we don't know if we have tomorrow. Like, why do we spend so much time grumbling and complaining and trying to set up our agenda? I'm just thankful that John is still with me. I mean, Jonathan doesn't have that with Winter. And it just gave me again, like, we need to take every day and just be thankful for what we have and not be grumbling. Sure, I thought my day was being interrupted. That did not even matter in the, in the big scheme of things.
And I think you've answered perhaps that final question is for that person living in, that pit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd hate to use that movie line, but the pit of despair from Princess Bride. But, you know, it is kind of that moment where you don't feel like there's a rope, a ladder. There's no way to climb out of this. You feel you're just in a dark place. This is your last at bat. You've answered it partially a moment ago. But what do you say to that wife and mom who isn't feeling appreciated, that is buried in stuff, looks invisible to her family, and is wondering, why am I doing this?
Yeah, and I think that going to God and realizing that what he has given us, what he has already done for us, I mean, just the fact that we have salvation, that we have Christ, and turning our attention to those things, being thankful and having grateful hearts will make all the difference. And it does. I mean, this is not something like we've arrived. Our family has not arrived, but we go to God sooner than we did before. We have thankful hearts sooner than we did before. And it has made a huge difference in our family.
Well, and I think the other thing is putting that as your first thought, which it sounds like it happened throughout the year. God gave you choices throughout the year. I mean, I'm sure he was smiling with this challenge. Oh, this will be fun.
Yeah.
And then all these things begin to happen, right?
Your
grandmother's back being broken. And, you know, again, not that God does that, but we can learn so much in all of our circumstances.
We can.
And I think that's the point.
That's the point.
That's what the Lord puts this life together for us for, is to learn to draw closer to him, be more like him, right?
Absolutely. And see that he has given us so much.
So, Danny, that is some really good stuff from Tricia and what Jim observed as well. Along the way, you know, pressing into God was kind of a theme along this whole episode here. What would you add for families who are facing such difficult things?
Well, first is not being afraid to reach out to get some help and to have a community of support around you. So if you have friends that you trust, talk openly with them. Let them know that you are in a tough place, that this is hard. Acknowledge your feelings. Cry. That's okay to cry and even weep if you need to. It can be scary, so use those words. I'm afraid. I'm scared. Mm-hmm. It's so good to be open and honest with those around us that can be of support, because then it allows them to be in your world, to pray for you, to stand in the gap for you. Take inventory. Pause and take inventory of what you've got, including maybe it's a husband-wife relationship that you can lean into. Maybe it's a friendship. What is it that you do have? In these times, you look at what you've lost, and then you get lost in that. Some rewords that I liked. Remember is important. I want to figure out what memberships I want to have in my past. What do I want to remember, rebring up? And then another one is restore. What needs to be brought back to use? To re and then pack my store with the things that I'm wanting there. Another re is to release. Lease means to rent. What am I wanting to rent again in my mind? What is there that I need to just let go of because I'm just renting? It's not a permanent thing in my mind. And another one is where do I need to look at respect in me, in how I'm handling the moment, and how do I put boundaries that require respect? And that respect is seeing. I need to see what God is telling me I need to see. And that is with respect. And one of the Psalms is my favorite for families when they're facing a hard time is Psalm 62, 1-2. And it says, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." And I just picture a soul waiting in silence for that. "From him comes my salvation and nowhere else. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I shall not be greatly shaken." And so the idea that standing steadfast is something I can do, and then outpouring from there. And Again, look into those relationships so that you can have moments of cleansing water for you, of just that satisfaction of having somebody listen to you. Lean into that. If you need to find a professional counselor, as you mentioned earlier in the show, John, that's important as well because it's maintained confidentially, but also you get some needed guidance in the moment.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. And again, that psalm that you read from is?
Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2.
Excellent. Well, grab a Bible, read Psalm 62, be encouraged, and know that we're here to help as we can. 800, the letter A and the word family, 800-232-6459. We'll include a link in the episode notes as well. And if this episode, if this ministry has helped you, please consider supporting Focus on the Family financially. Especially if you're in a pretty okay spot, pay it forward. Help us provide those counselors. Help us make resources available to people. When you make a generous donation of any amount today, either a monthly pledge or a one-time gift, we'll say thank you by sending a copy of Trisha's excellent book, The Grumble-Free Year. And all the details are in the show notes. Next time, we'll hear from Heidi St. John describing overcoming some pretty embarrassing moments as a parent. We've all had them. How do you react? For now, on behalf of Danny Huerta and the entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for joining us for the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.
Teach your kids digital boundaries. Author Jonathan McKee brings over 20 years of working with teens and how they interact online to his new book, Parenting Generation Screen. In it, you'll see the importance of setting practical screen limits, when's the best age to get your kid a phone, and how to engage in meaningful conversations with your kids about what they experience online. Learn more about Parenting Generation Screen at focusonthefamily.com/store. That's focusonthefamily.com/store.